I want to talk about Satan this morning. When you hear Satan, what do you visualize? What do you think of? Something like that? Is that Satan? Is that what you understand? You know, the Bible refers to Satan by name 43 times. There are other uses, like prince of this world and the enemy. The Hebrew word literally means an opposing spirit. An opposing spirit. I would encourage you to follow along in the lesson this morning in your bulletin, because we have the outline there, and we're going to be covering a lot of scripture. One of the things that I hope you are able to grasp is that there are two realms of existence. There is the physical realm. We don't have much trouble with that. That's where we are right now. But there's also the spiritual realm. That one's a little harder. We live in a materialistic world. We live in a world where the emphasis is on things. And so we have a hard time with things that are not touchy-feely. But there is no doubt about the nature of the fact that there is spiritual. The physical is time-dependent. Everything we do is based on time. The spiritual world is time-independent. The Bible talks about the things that will happen at the end of time. Genesis 1:1 starts with in the beginning. The Hebrew word used there is reshith. In Hebrew, that literally means the start of space-time. I'm a physicist. That's my occupation. I'm trained in the physics of matter. One of the things that's happened in the last 5 years is the development of quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics may sound like it's really complicated. It's not. What we are learning from science is that there is an existence that even in the physical world we can see evidence of. So now physicists are talking about at the beginning of time, thus and so happened. Well, what happened before that? We now know that electric charge and gravity are caused by things that are not a part of our three-dimensional world. So there is a growing field of evidence that the spiritual is real and that we can understand the nature of it. The Bible, of course, talks about this all the time. In Ephesians 3, beginning with verse 8, the Word of God says, "And God gave me the work of telling all people about the plan for His secret truth, the secret truth that has been hidden in Him since the beginning of time." Isn't that interesting? Time has a beginning. We know that now from our studies in science. He is the one who created everything. But now listen to this statement. His purpose was that all the rulers and powers in heavenly places will now know the many different ways He shows His wisdom. They will know this because of the church. You know, it's interesting, as you know, I come from a family of atheists. One of the things that has been interesting to me is that my brothers, as they have struggled with the results of atheism, have both come to understand that there's something that is clearly more than physical. The one brother I was able to baptize into Christ, he finally came to an understanding of the biblical concept of the Spirit. The other brother is still struggling with this because he knows there's something out there and he's trying to find it in the natural world. So as I speak, he is on his way to the North Woods, because he finds the spirit in the wilds of Canada. And I understand that. I've done that. I have been encouraged by being in God's creation and in seeing the spirit of living things. In the Bible's warnings to Christians, it continually refers to this same concept. Ephesians 6 again, this time beginning with verse 11. Wear God's armor so that you can fight against the devil's clever tricks. Our fight is not against people of the earth. Do you hear that? Our fight is not against people of the earth. We are fighting against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this world's darkness. We are fighting against spiritual powers of evil in heavenly places. Horrible things happen. They happen because there is spiritual powers of evil. I don't know how you can be alive on this world very long and not recognize that. For some of us, it happened in the military. When I was in combat situations, I began to understand something about the spirit of evil. But one of the things we have to understand is that we will not always be in the physical. And the older you get, the more you realize that. Revelation, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 3, there's a prophecy of where we're all going to be. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And listen to this description. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. No more pain, Larry. No more pain, Bill. You won't have to worry about those pills. Hallelujah. But I could go around this whole room and talk about that, couldn't I? No more pain. And then it says, for the old order of things has passed away. I am making everything new. That's God talking. What God is saying is this world, with all of the crap that goes on, and I could use a stronger word than that, so could you. All the awful things that happen are gone. And the older you get, the more you look forward to that. But I want to talk a little bit about how Satan functions. And the first point I want to make was made brutally apparent last night in this community. Satan works by brute force. You may not have heard the news. Last night, what time was it, Tracy? 2 o'clock. There was a fight near Zeke's. Okay, that's downtown Dowagiac, okay? A guy went out to his car, got his AK-47, and mowed a guy down and killed him. Right by that white fence near Zeke's. Folks, we're not talking about stuff that happens in Afghanistan. We're talking about stuff that happens here. Satan works by brute force. What are the odds somebody will walk into that door one of these days and machine gun this whole place? It's possible. It's possible. It's happened before, has it not? Satan works by brute force. In Genesis 3 and verse 15, God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. And so in the Bible we read about all the horrible things that Satan has produced. Herod and the slaying of the babies. Pilate and the things that he sanctioned. The Pharaoh and what he did to the Israelites. And the crucifixion. And one of the ways Satan can work is with brute force. And that can happen by Satan entering a person. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let's read John 13, verse 27. That's the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. Jesus is there. And the Bible says, and Satan entered Judas. And that's when it all began. It's interesting, when that happens, Jesus says to Judas, okay, what you going to do? Come on, let's get it over with. Do what you're going to do quickly. Sometimes it works in a less obvious way. One of the interesting passages is Matthew 16, verse 23. This is Jesus talking to Peter. And the Bible says, and Peter rebuked Jesus, and Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. He's talking to Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. Because you treasure not the things that are of God, but the things that are of men. I don't know anything about what happened last night. I don't know the guy. I can guarantee you this is going to be on the news. You turn on your TV tonight, you're going to hear about Dowagiac, Michigan. Another shooting. Never thought it would happen here, did you? It'll be on the news. Did Satan enter this guy? I say, yeah. Does Satan enter politicians? I say, yeah. Without getting any particular party involved or any individual involved. If you were in the military, did you see Satan enter guys in the military? Listen, us guys that have been in the service can sit down and we can tell story after story after story after story of stuff we saw. Ku Klux Klan, the Crusades, the list goes on and on. Brute force. When bad things happen, they don't come from God. When there is cancer, it didn't come from God. That's Satan, brute force. And he will use whatever he can use. 97% of all cancer is caused by man. 97%. That's not my number. That's the health organization's number. Doesn't help us, does it, to know where it came from? Except I want to say to you loud and clear, cancer does not come from God. God didn't look at Larry and say, I think he needs a problem. Here you go, Larry. Cancer. No. That's not how God works. Satan is the origin. But Satan functions by sowing in a much quieter way. In Matthew the 13th chapter, Jesus tells a parable that really addresses this whole discussion. I'm starting with verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now remember, this is a parable. As we're reading this, I want you to think about what is Jesus representing here. Okay, so he sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. I'm not much of a farmer. I mean, I grow tomatoes and cucumbers this year, and that's about it. But I have seen wheat seed, and I have seed of other weeds, and you can't tell the difference. At least I can't. So nobody could see what this guy was doing. He went out, and he put all kinds of seeds like wheat, but which would not produce wheat. And he did it at night. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where are these weeds coming from? In verse 28, the enemy did this, he replied. And the servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? Now, if you've done as much weeding as I've done, and most of you have, you know what happens when you pull out a weed, right? If it's tangled up with something good, you end up pulling the good plant out with the bad plant, right? Well, this guy's smarter than that. Look what he says. The servant said, do you want us to go out and pull them up? No, he said, because when you are pulling out the weeds, you will also pull up some of the wheat with them. So let them grow together until the harvest. You hear what's happening here? In the parable, Jesus is saying, look, you're not going to be able to go in and weed out the bad things that happen in this world. In the first place, it doesn't give people a chance to change. In the second place, you're going to hurt other people in the process. So this has major applications to what you and I experience in life. Let them both grow up together until the harvest. It's going to be a harvest. Brothers and sisters, it's going to be a harvest. And then he says, let them grow up together till the harvest, and at that time I will tell the harvesters. First collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather my wheat into my barn. See, it's obvious that the tares, as your Bible may call it, could not be ripped out of the wheat field. I put in a bunch of marigolds this year. I love marigolds because the deer don't like them. And when they grow up, they're pretty flowers. And I thought, okay, I'll just put the seed in. I won't worry about anything else. Wrong. The trouble is the weeds that got in there were bigger than the marigolds. So eventually I had to go and pull them out. I lost about half the marigolds while I was pulling out the other weeds. A lot of times we put good seed out there, but Satan sows seed too. You put good seed in front of your husband, your wife, your kid, because you want them to experience not only the best things in this life, but eternal life. But Satan sows the seeds of hatred and greed and selfishness. You can't pull that stuff out. You can't do it. You'd have to turn off your television. You'd have to quit getting magazines. You couldn't drive down the street. You couldn't go to Zeke. Somebody might get a machine gun right in front of you. You can't do it. Satan sows seeds of hatred and greed and lies. And a lot of times he does it at night. Do you notice verse 25? While everyone was sleeping. You ever wonder why things like what we just heard about from Tracy, why that happens at 2 o'clock a.m.? When my kids were teenagers, I told them, I don't want you out after midnight. It's not that I don't trust you. I don't trust the world. Because people do things at night when everybody is sleeping. And I was at the front of that as an atheist. You didn't get after the things you wanted selfishly until everybody was asleep that could cause you trouble. And everybody out there believed in survival of the fittest just like you did. We need to expect to be surprised by what evil does. So are we facing environmental disasters? Sure we are. Are we going to have wars? Yeah, we're going to have wars. Jesus said, you will hear wars and rumors of wars. There will be pestilence. There will be famines. There will be hunger. That all comes from Satan. We can address it. We can help use it. But we can't stop it. One of the things I love about the Cass County Fair is that we see all these young people who are so enthusiastic about their chickens and their ducks and their cows and their sheep. And, you know, you walk around with all of this livestock and you watch the kids interacting with each other. What a positive, positive environment that is. They come by the booth and they're kidding around and The kids memorize the patterns, and then they try to show their buddies how smart they are. I think Carl's planning to rewire in the middle of the week. That's going to cause major problems. But I think it's important to recognize that Satan frequently tries to imitate God. So there are people at that fair that are trying to imitate God. Listen to 2 Corinthians 11, begin with verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. There are people out there that are pretending to be good. There are people out there that are going to give the young ladies a heavy push. They're not there for good, solid spiritual reasons. They're here to exploit. Satan has control of them. You know, my classic example of this is marriage. God has created a plan for fulfillment, satisfaction, and value called marriage. And if you're in a good marriage, there is nothing better on this earth. Nothing better. God has blessed me with two wonderful women who helped keep me sane, because I'm ordered always on the border of being insane. But you know, now I look around and I see polygamy. I see polyandry. That's one wife, many husbands. I see gay marriage. I see group marriage. I see animal marriage. Read about the gal that wanted to marry the gorilla, and somehow managed to get involved with the gorilla in the London Zoo, and he killed her. That was in the papers last week. We always have the woman who wants to marry her dog or her cat. And I don't know how serious these people are, but what I want to say to you is Satan will take marriage and he will use it in a divisive way. And that is happening in our country right now. You know, if two guys or two gals want to live together, we used to share apartments all the time. What they do in private is obviously up to them. But the fact of the matter is, in God's sight, that living together is to be a wholesome, supportive thing, not a sexually explicit thing. And it's interesting to see the destructive nature of Satan's alternatives to God's plan for marriage. So the question becomes, how do we know what's from Satan and what isn't? How do we tell? Matthew 7, beginning with verse 15, Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." And listen to this. "By their fruit you will recognize them. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them." If you go three verses down beyond that passage in Matthew 7, beginning with verse 15, it talks about the false prophets who say to Jesus, "Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name?" And Jesus says, "I never knew you." By the way, they said that. Did they do it? I suspect they didn't do it. Doesn't say in the Bible they were successful. What Jesus says is, "I never knew you." If that's happening, it's not happening from the power from me, and I suggest to you it wasn't happening. Are there people out there that are claiming today to perform miracles? Sure there are. Turn on your television set. Are there people out there that are claiming to prophesy? Oh, there's whole churches that are built around prophesying stuff. And what happens is when they prophesy something and it doesn't happen, then they just reinvent the date. Of course that's happening. Back to 2 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 13. Look at verse 15. "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers were transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." How do I know who is from Satan and who isn't? What's the product of their lives? Over the long haul, what do they do? It was interesting that we don't have time to do this, but Jeremiah 23 has ways for you to evaluate me. Okay? Jeremiah 23. It gives you five things. Number one, does the person we're talking about, the religious leader, have high moral values? That's verse 9 through 14. Yes or no? Do they have vain hopes? That's verse 16 through 17. Are you being told things that is a hope that turns out to be vain? No way of happening? Do they have integrity and oppose evil? Verses 21 and 22. If you don't hear evil opposed here, you need to get rid of me or whoever's here. And we have pulpits today where people are trying to justify evil instead of opposing it. Do they speak where God has not spoken? Verses 29 through 32. How much of what is said up here comes from God's Word? And how much of it is a speculative human philosophy? If I'm not speaking from God's Word, get rid of me. Do they state opinions as the Word of God? I try not to do that. When I do it, you need to nail me. Richard does that all the time. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that he's there and listening and saying, hey, Clayton, you said that, and that's not what that says. I even got Thessalonica in the wrong country yesterday or last Wednesday night. So, you know, I don't get away with anything. And that's the way it should be. I should not be speaking to robots, but to people whose brain is engaged and who are thinking and reading and seeing whether what is being said is true or not. There are a lot of cheap imitations of the Lord's church out there. So, what do you see on television? Oh, we got the prosperity gospel. We got the end times gospel. We got the purpose-driven gospel. We've got the institutional gospel. We've got the AD 70 gospel. What are the long-term results of those? See, they're not from God's Word. They don't fit those five things that Jeremiah mentioned. If I'm not preaching what is true and what is right, if I don't meet those things, you need to get rid of me. I hope you'll point it out to me first. Give me time to change. But more importantly, we need to make sure that we are doing and looking at what the result is of what we do. The ultimate answer, the final answer to Satan, Matthew 13, verse 30. This is the wheat farmer again. Let both grow together until the harvest. You know, the long-term result of Satan's activity is always clear. The long-term result is always clear. And all you have to do is to pick up your paper, turn on your television set, and you will hear one thing after another of some mess that has happened because somebody was allowing Satan to work through them. Even things like a split in the church. If there's a split, Satan is alive and well and working through individuals. That's why we work so hard here to try and make sure we stay united. Doesn't mean we always agree on everything, but we clearly identify that what we do where there is a difference of opinion is opinion, and that we look to God's Word when we decide what the final result is going to be. And you may say, I don't think working the county fair is a good idea. Okay, bring that up. We'll talk about it. That's something we need to consider. All we know is the gospel says, go preach the gospel to every creature. This is one way of doing it. We have a scriptural base for what we're doing. In Revelation 20, there's the final test of who is from Satan and who isn't. In verse 2, we're told that an angel binds Satan. There's a time when Satan will no longer have any access to you. And Satan is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, verse 10. Incidentally, that description is also sometimes said to be an outer darkness. Why? Because this is a spiritual condemnation, not a physical one. My mother used to tell me that religious people believe there's a hole in the bottom of the earth and you get dropped in this hole if you don't live the way the preacher says you should. And that's typical of atheists, isn't it? My mother had never read the Bible, but she already knew what hell was all about. And her perception of Satan was once again along this line. That's not what we're talking about. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1, the statement that is made, which we have been reading several times, read it earlier, but let's read it again just to make sure we don't miss it. First five verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. We offer an invitation to you this morning. Allow that to be your future. Don't believe this existence is all you'll ever have. There is a spiritual existence that you can be a part of by obeying God, by trusting in God, by following His Word. If we can assist you to that end, we invite you to come and express that need as together we stand and sing to encourage you. Won't you please come?